For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Chinese Communist Party, the 20th Party Congress, an address by the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurie Institute, who, in reviewing this speech in its original language, can help us understand what to watch for, what is new. Charles, a very good day to you. What, if anything, surprised you in Xi's remarks, and what became predictable from his presentation these last years? Good day to you, Charles.
Well, good day. It's a disturbing speech in the sense that it provides no sense that China is planning to attempt to reconcile with the United States or to ease down on the COVID policy, the lockdown policies. It's clear that Mr. Xi's plan is to downplay economic growth in favor of enhancing the control of his regime over the Chinese people. So a lot of discussion of different forms of security, people security, political security, economic security, military, scientific, cultural, and social security. In other words, more censorship, more less tolerance for any form of dissent against Mr. Xi, and praising the centralization of power around Mr. Xi's person. In addition, Xi is preparing the Chinese people for a rough time in terms of China's challenge to the United States and the West. He predicts stormy seas. And I think, he's really planning for the struggle to achieve his audacious ambition of China becoming the dominant hegemon on the planet by 2050. And he'll, I think, still be around for the midpoint, which is 2035. And there'll be a lot more expenditure on espionage. He didn't put it quite that way, but he said that, you know, they should be getting more international talents, developing monopolies over certain forms of technologies, and ultimately, I think, challenging the West. He didn't give any indication that they're planning to take any action on Taiwan soon, whether that's a strategic thing or whether they're genuinely prepared to put it off for a few years remains to be seen. But it's a disturbing speech, a chilling speech, and it's really all about Mr. Xi, which I think is in general bad news for the political and economic future of China.
Gordon, in an essay published at the Fox News Channel, you make a very keen to focus on Xi's remarks that he was committed to, quote, resolving the Taiwan question in the new era. What does he mean by new era? What does that construction convey?
It conveys during the tenure of Xi Jinping, although he hasn't specifically said that, that's the way it's being interpreted. He started using that term in November of last year, and it has to be read in connection with things he's said in the past, especially on Taiwan. The problem cannot be passed down from generation to generation. That's a clear indication that Xi Jinping has made the absorption of Taiwan during his tenure as general secretary really to be a test of legitimacy and the test of his effectiveness. And that's why we've got to be especially concerned.
You have a question for our colleague, Charles.
Charles, I sort of focus on what was not said in the speech. What was not said was any references to his solutions to two problems that really troubled the Chinese people and at the top of their consciousness: youth unemployment and plunging property prices. And by the way, we have just learned that Beijing has indefinitely postponed the release of September and third quarter economic and trade data something which is highly unusual, not only for China, but for any country. This seems to indicate that Xi Jinping has no solutions. And the failure to mention these two problems in his work report seems to me to be an indication that he's just run out of ideas and solutions. Your comments?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, for one thing, in these reports in the past, there's been a section on, you know, things that we could have done better. There is no section on that in the report. In fact, it's supposed to be a report from the 19th Central Committee to the 20th, but a lot of it goes back to 10 years before when Mr. Xi assumed power. And there's no indication of any concern over housing prices or youth or the demographic crisis. None of this seems to be in his mind. He's obsessed with security and fulfilling this second centenary plan of China's global domination. And there were some sort of dark references to long existing problems in the party have been resolved. And so I assume that that has to do with suppression of some factional dissent against Mr. Xi's rule, but you know this is sort of kept in the inside of the language. It's not very explicitly set out, but I don't think he has any plan to salvage the economy, and he doesn't seem to see that this is important. That the other issues are more important, and the Chinese people will have to suffer because of his desire to maintain very strong control, not to reverse on the COVID policy, and to build up technologically and militarily to challenge to the West. He hopes that the West, I guess, will simply back off short of war, but if it does lead to war, it seems to be something that Mr. Xi is not concerned about in terms of the overall welfare of the Chinese people. You know, very little in this report about doing good things for the citizens of China, and mostly about his own grandiose schemes and fulfilling what he regards as his mandate of history. This is all very disturbing and dangerous stuff.
Charles, between 1933 and 1939, the dictator in Germany used language that increasingly became alarming and detached from reality. At the time, there were observations in the German government, in the British government, in the French government, that the dictator was not rational. It would go back and forth. What is striking to me in the Xi presentation that I can read in English, I don't have it in the original, is that the language is escalatory. Always the next step is we must defend, we must attack, we must do this, we must do that. That was the language that the dictator in Germany found himself using. He could never take a step back because on the offensive he gained power. Is that in some fashion surprising to you that Xi Jinping doesn't have an open hand? There is no peace gesture whatsoever. It's the language as if he was already at war.
Yes, I think that, you know, it seems to be taking on a certain momentum of its own. And the idea that, you know, we haven't cracked down on the internet enough, we need to do more to maintain social and cultural security, or that we need to increase our program of technological transfer to create an independence, and that the conflict with the United States cannot be resolved, so we have to be prepared for storms. So there doesn't seem to be any notion that anything that he's done in the past could be adjusted to try and resolve these existing issues or ease back on this stuff, because as Gordon points out, the economy is doing badly, and this is something that will lead to social instability. I guess, you know, he believes his own rhetoric and is more and more surrounded by people who won't tell him otherwise. And that does seem to bear a strong resemblance to the lesson of history you're talking about in the 1930s and the isolation and increasing irrationality of Hitler. This does look like it could be a direction that she is moving in. And, you know, we don't know. We have no means to know what he's actually thinking personally. He didn't look all that well during the speech. His voice was sometimes hesitant. He was coughing and sipping on tea, which is not the way that he's presented before. So you do wonder if in fact, having taken on everything and not allowing, you know, being a micromanager and determining that everything should go through him, whether this is affecting his health because he's just not prepared to trust anybody to share his power.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes for a question for Charles.
Charles, to pick up on your last point, Xi Jinping apparently has made sure that there is no successor to him. If indeed he is sick, if indeed he's incapable, what happens in China where there is no known successor?
Well, I mean, this is a very worrying situation because not only is there no known successor, but there's no effective collective leadership that could maintain a transitional period. It's all about Mr. Xi. So this is really like Hitler in the bunker. You know, where is, you know, what's the alternative? There is no viable alternative except, I suppose, the military takes control to restore order. But it's very dangerous, the game he's playing, and he doesn't seem to have any notion of there being any need to think about the fate of China beyond his own lifespan.
A puzzle then, Charles. What you're hearing is something new, and you were surprised by it? We have 30 seconds.
I am disappointed that the speech was, as you say, looking like Xi is simply having to fulfill his promise and not allowing any space for any compromise in terms of domestic and foreign policy. It just looks like they're heading down a hill with the brakes off, and this could lead to very bad consequences. But that's just the speech. You know, we still have the Congress. We still have what happens in the future. China's always surprising us, and maybe, you know, we're being too dark on this. But I think this speech does not bode at all well for the future of relations between China and the West,
Charles,
or the fate of people in China.
Charles Burton of McDonnell Laurier Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.